Sorry. At this time, the recording has started. Are you all able to hear me okay still?
Yes, ma'am.
Yes.
All right. Thank you. All right. Again, the lines are all unmuted. If you would manually mute your phone, unless you have questions or comments, you can make those, interject those at any time during the presentation. At this time, I just want to say good evening to everyone on the line and welcome to Master Builders Logistics Training Weekly Call, held every Wednesday from 8 p.m. to 9 p.m. Each call is a session, in the session is a progressive step toward the next in building and or maintaining your family businesses. We would like to say thank you all for our brief break in sessions on last Wednesday and the Wednesday before. We considered that we needed to take a break from the calls because of the devastation from the Hurricane Florence and the impacts that it had on our neighboring cities and states, both North Carolina and South Carolina. Don't know if any of you or your family members or friends were impacted directly or indirectly. We pray that all is well and all will continue to be well with your families, loved ones, or friends, or others who you may have heard of that were impacted. And as I was sharing briefly with one of the callers, in North Carolina, there's still areas that are heavily impacted and are going through recovery efforts. Fortunately, where we are in North Carolina, about 2.5 hours from the coast, we fared very well and we are doing well. I would like to say that our mentor for Master Builders Logistics, Mr. James Webb, his hometown was impacted, which is Wilmington, North Carolina, and that's where his parents are, and he has other family members there as well. They were heavily impacted, and his mom and dad were directly flooded out. So they are going through some recovery efforts to not necessarily rebuild, but to reconstruct areas of their home that were flooded. That is one that I know directly. And again, it's very close to the call because it's his family, it's Mr. Webb's family. So be in prayer for them and for others in the areas of North Carolina, South Carolina, and the surrounding cities who are impacted and still going through those cleanup efforts. We're gonna talk a little bit more about that a little later in the call, but I did want to interject that there because that's why we were not on the call for the last 2 weeks, because of areas that were impacted and those who were trying to prepare or take care of family didn't want them to have to try to listen to a call or feel that they've missed out on a call. So again, thank you for tuning into tonight's session. And if you're tuning in for the first time, do realize that you will be able to catch up on previous sessions from recorded links that I can provide to you by email. So if after the call, you can either email me or call. The number to call is 919-213-9123. You can give me a call back and I can get your email and make sure that you're included in the Master Builders email contact list, and we can provide you those previous links so you can go back out and listen to those calls. So again, thank you for tuning in tonight. And thank you for being a part of these sessions. Just need to give you a quick disclaimer before we go any further. This is not an offer for sale of any securities. Participation in this program must be active participation only, and any other non-active will be prohibited from participating in any of the services offered. Your success is totally dependent on your own efforts. No parties of MBL are responsible for your success or your failure. Availability will be based on scheduling and ongoing construction administration by you and your family business. There are no required fees for the training class of Master Builders Logistics Training. We do suggest that you seek advice of an attorney for legal advice or an accountant for accounting. We are not in the legal or accounting business. We are here to assist you in getting your business up and running or helping you maintain your existing businesses and providing you outlets to those particular resources. On tonight's call, I'm not going to necessarily go into any new segments, but I'm going to touch base on a lot of things that we previously discussed, just kind of giving you an overview summary of everything that we've discussed, highlighting certain points from that. And as I stated before, this is a very comfortable laid-back call. So as I'm going through these items, if you have questions at any time, please feel free to unmute your phone and just jump in with a question. The main purpose behind Master Builders Logistics, and I'm sure you've heard it from previous calls, is basically to help families of those who are either previously or currently incarcerated, basically to help them bridge the gap of transitioning back into the community. Part of this program, of the reason that we started the calls, is with Mr. Webb, currently at Butner Federal Medical Center. He has a class with some of your loved ones, and basically that class is teaching them the same ideas and information that I've been sharing with you. So their goal is to have their family members go forward and start these businesses on the outside, so that when they are released, they have a business, or they have an actual workforce that they can walk right into, either as the owner or as a worker or laborer. With that, we're kind of bridging the two together, because as I've mentioned on previous calls, and you all may know as well, that once these young men and women alike leave the justice system, their records are so where they can't just walk into a normal 40-hour a week 9-to-5 job in most cases. There are situations where they will be able to get employment, but it isn't as easy as just being released and walking into those jobs. Well, Master Builders Logistics will allow you all to have that platform for, again, your loved ones or any other individuals who may find it hard to get regular employment in very easily. So everything that we've done up until this point has basically been to show you how to set those things in place. So two goals that we have is basically putting individuals to work, those individuals right there in your community, those individuals who can't, again, otherwise get employed traditionally, being able to put them to work. The second goal is redeveloping inner city. By building that workforce of individuals and building crews, you're going to be able to have a base to go and put together and actually reconstruct, redevelop inner cities one house at a time. Abandoned houses or foreclosed houses that's just been walked away from, we want to help you position yourself where you can actually purchase those houses, reconstruct those houses, put them back on the market, be able to put those within that community in those homes where they're not having to rent for $5, $7 or higher $100 a month when they can go into their own home for that amount or less. So that's the whole idea, the whole goal behind Master Builders Logistics and the calls that you are a part of and the classes that your loved ones are taking there in the medical at the Federal Medical Center. So with that said, again, I just want to dive back into some of the previous classes sessions that we had and just share some information that we discussed and just kind of build from there. Basically, from the beginning, we talked about establishing your business. A lot of people may already have their own businesses of any sort, whether it's selling Avon or I babysit or I, you know, have a yard maintenance business. Whatever the case may be, you may have already started a business or had a business previously, so you know how to initiate and establish a business. Well, part of what we talked about in some of the first calls was if you've never established a business, being able to, first of all, think about a name for your business. You want something that will be universal, something that will position you where you can actually use that name in many places. So you wouldn't want to call it Terry's Tools and Cooking. When I'm trying to do a construction business, very professional to where it fits into that construction real estate home repair type name. So again, I could use my name, Terry, but I want to make sure I add in maintenance, construction, of something of that nature, so my name will tell me what my business is all about. So establishing your business name, being able to request the EIN number for your business, because you don't want your social to run your business. That actually runs your personal life. So you want to be able to keep your business and your personal separate. Also being able to set up accounts for your business. That's where your EIN comes in from. Also, before setting up accounts, checking accounts or banking accounts, you want to be able to establish your business as being incorporated or either a DBA. Again, you want your business to be a separate entity from you. You want it to look like a business. You don't want to go out and set up something or have set up something and others are don't think you're serious about what you're doing. So those are some of the basis for establishing your business. Once that business is established, once you've got it incorporated or DBA, you got a separate EIN, you're getting ready to establish your banking account, then you're initially set up. That was phase one. Phase two was basically building your crew, building your labor force, being able to have this construction crew. And we use the word construction, and there's a lot of phases and facets of construction. So that can go anywhere from I have a crew that's painting to I have a crew that's actually developing communities. So that's there's a large basis of where you can go with a construction crew. So being able to really set up that crew was the second phase. So we talked about posting ads or creating an ad and posting an ad on online services, free online sites, or making a flyer and posting flyers, being able to put that information out in church bulletins, however you can advertise. There were so many ways. There's not one set way to advertise. So that was another idea that we shared when building your labor forces, being able to go out, place those ads, post those ads, and then once you've done that, you start getting responses back from those ads. So once you get the responses back, what do I do with what I have? Well, we talked about being able to categorize the responses you receive into a database of some kind. The word database sometimes scare people, but basically when I say database, however you can compile those, whether you're printing them all off and you got a stack of papers and they're sorted in categories in order, or you got index cards and you've written out everybody that's responded, or you've got an Excel spreadsheet and you've made columns and rows, whether you got an actual Microsoft Access database that's working everything for you, however extreme you want to make it, just basically where you can actually coordinate all of the responses that you receive from your ad. With that, then you start building your crew. You go in and start understanding who you have that's replied to you. Like I said, the basis of construction could be anywhere from a painter to a framer who can actually build you a community, a development community. So you want to know the responses you receive, who do I have? Who's responded? So when you're classifying and when you're categorizing those responses, then you actually start seeing, okay, I got 5 painters. Oh, I got 20 framers. Oh, I got 10 roofers. You actually can see all that panned out in front of you. So being able to understand that, you know exactly what type of labor force I have built. Because that is going to determine the next phase, which is going out and bidding for jobs. How do I bid for jobs? Well, we talked about that briefly on one of the calls as well. There's a couple of different ways you can do that. You're actually calling and talking to builders and renters and landlords and anybody that has a house, a personal homeowner that has a house that's developing a community. Those are the people that you're actually talking to, and you're basically selling yourself, selling your family business with. However, the jobs and projects that you're going after is all going to be dependent on the crew that you just put together. Back to what I was stating, if you've got 20 painters, you can't go out for a job that's looking for framers. So you have to be able to understand the labor force that I have based on the projects that I want to go and try to bid for. So with that said, I know I've just been running on right now for a few minutes, but with that said, that's the basis of everything that we kind of built up until this point to get you into that next level of running your business. Are there any questions before I move forward into the next little segment? Any questions at all?
No.
Okay. All right. And I have to ask because sometimes I get on a tangent and I just keep talking and talking and talking. So I just wanted to you know, kind of share that with you all because, again, that's where we are as far as everything that we've shared from the first call until tonight. Everything that's been shared, again, I've sent back, forwarded back out the calls themselves and links. I've shared with you the ad itself, basis of what needs to be posted or what you should post. I've also shared with you flyers, sample flyers that I've used for our personal business, which again is something that you can use and tweak and make your own. Again, there may be things that you all will start to initiate within your own businesses that works for you. Again, we're all in different states and cities, so what works for me in North Carolina, in Eastern North Carolina, may not work for Rochester, New York. It may not work for Richmond, Virginia. It may work differently. So anything that you all start to use and utilize, if it works for you, feel free to email it back to me and say, by the way, I took what you shared with me and I tweaked it and now this is what I'm using and it's working for me. Because we're a team. We're building a family unit with this program. So just, you know, as long as I'm able to do the calls with you and share this information with you, even when we do the last session, it's not over. I'm still here, and hopefully you'll reach back out to me and we can share, because it's not that I know everything. I'm only sharing with you what's been shared with me and what's been shared with your loved ones, but again, and what's been shared for Mr. Webb, because this was his business and his livelihood for over 30 years, so he knows it's like the back of his hand. So the information I'm sharing is what he's been sharing with us. So you're getting it just like I'm receiving it, and we're working it accordingly to our own efforts, as the disclaimer says. So as you do this, as you come up with ideas, as you work the general template that I'm providing, and that's what it is a general template, then you will be able to tweak it. You'll be able to do more. You'll be able to add to, take away from, but please be able to come back and share, whether it's an email or a phone call or a text, and, you know, we can correspond in that way. One of the things that, that I've shared initially, and I briefly shared now about redeveloping communities. The goal behind establishing your family business to getting to that redevelopment stage is being able to have a base nest egg of $60,000. And why $60,000? $60,000 will basically allow you to be able to go in to a community, find one of those abandoned houses, those houses that's for sale, purchase that house, rehab that house, put it back on the market, sell it, flip it, turn it around, make a profit. Do that, and you duplicate that effort every time. The reason we base it at 60 is because you can go in and basically your goal is to try to find a property that's $10,000 or less that has minimum to major damage or repairs. But with $60,000, $30,000 should be able to help you purchase that home and rehab that home. That additional $30,000 that you have there is your extra cash to assist in the event something else goes wrong that you need cushion for. So again, if you have $30,000 is good. That's a base to start with, but you have no wiggle room at all. So between $30,000 and $60,000 is where you want to try to build your initial nest egg to be able to go and purchase your first house. And like I previously stated on other calls, if you retirement sitting there that you can tap into to get that $30,000 and go ahead and start one of these properties, then all well and good. You're in a very good position. If you've got an inheritance that's just been dropped in your lap, you're in a very good position. If you have a husband and wife team, and you both have 15 apiece, 30,000, and you want to go ahead and make this happen, you're in a very good position. If not, then the basis of everything that we've shared with you from call number one until now about building your crews, being able to qualify your crews, bidding for projects from builders or renters, that is to help you establish your $30,000 to $60,000 nest egg, because that way you have your own money. YOM. If you have your own money, start your and run your business, then you're not in debt to anyone. An investor? No. To a bank loan? No. You have your own money, which you're actually using to continue to build and to continue to grow from. So one of the concerns I know when a lot of you were introduced to this call is, I don't have time and I don't have money. Again, you do this at your own pace. It may seem tedious, it may seem long drawn out, it may seem inevitable, but it may seem like it's not going to happen where you want it to happen, but trust me, it will work. Mr. Webb, this was his life. He started from the ground where we are, and he grew it, and so it can be done. So he only gave us the template of what he did over years' time, and at your own pace, we can do the same. You can do similar. Again, it's totally up to you how fast or how slow, how much you want to grow your business. So when I throw that amount in there, that $60,000 or that $30,000 to $60,000, do not become alarmed. But that is the goal. So again, making your own money, it starts with you being able to bid for projects from, like I stated a while ago, for builders, for renters, for homeowners. And the reason I say that is because basically what you're going to do is, as you build your crew, as you know what crew you have a crew that can go out and actually start working a project. You determine which projects you want to go bid for. So, for example, one of the very baseline projects would be rent ready. We talked about that briefly as well. You have rental properties all around you where turnover is inevitable. So then this house is rented for 3 months, now it's empty. Well, before those next renters can come in, that property has to be up to par for the next set of renters that are coming in. Well, if it's a homeowner or a real estate, whoever the landlord is over that home has to get that property back up to par. So whether he's going in and doing the work himself or whether he hires somebody to do that, if he hires somebody to do that, that's who you want him to hire your company. So again, if he has 20 houses within a certain radius and all 20 of those houses can potentially become vacant, then he needs you. He needs your family business. And that's the calls that you're going to be, start making to those landlords, to those real estate agencies, to those personal homeowners. You drive by a house and you see a rent sign in the yard, call that number and say, hey, I noticed you got a property over here on Lane Street. Do you have other properties for rent? Oh yeah, you do? Okay. Are they vacant? Do you need those properties to be fixed and repaired for the next renter? There you go. That's the conversation. There's no etched in stone script that you use, but again, I can help you prepare bases for those phone calls. But that's basically how it works. You pick up the phone and you start calling those people who have properties. And that gets your foot in the door, gets your crew into a project where they're becoming a rent-ready project. And what I said about the renter who has 20 properties, okay, you do the first one and he's impressed, he's happy. Who's he going to call for the next property? Your family business. So that you start there, you start building there. And as you start building towards your $30,000 to $60,000 nest egg, okay, with that, you branch out. You start seeing developments going up. You start seeing houses being built. When those houses are being built, those general contractors, they need your family business. How would you ask? Every phase of them building that house from the foundation to the roof is a separate crew, is a different crew that's coming in. You want your laborers, your crew that you built to be a part of those phases, one or two or all of those phases of that house, but it's all going to be dependent on the crew that you built, the skill sets that you have working for you. Again, I've got painters, I've got framers, I've got roofers. Okay, Well, with those three phases, three of those phases are going to be part of building that community or building that house. And as the stages of that house are going up, you want to be there to bid on the next stage. So if you know that the foundation's been poured, the next thing's going to go up is the framing, the skeleton, the outer skeleton of that house. That's the framing. But before that framing goes up, as soon as they're pouring the foundation, you should be making a call to that builder and saying, hi, I noticed that you all are building a property over there on Lane Street. I like Lane Street. and I noticed that you're needing framers, or you will need framers. Just want to know if I could partner with you or bid for that framing job. Now, 9 times out of 10, if the foundation is complete, he's already got framers in line. So it's a timing of all of the phases, because with a general contractor, he loses money if foundation goes up and he doesn't have that next phase to go in. He's losing money while it's sitting there while he's waiting for a crew. So one of the things that I mentioned on a previous call is being able to, again, drive by those communities, get those builders information, or call your local county or city permit office, because a permit had to be ordered for that property. So if the ground hadn't even been broken yet and there's a permit that was just issued, then that builder is going to soon be working on that property. Then that's going to be one of those that you want to make a call to. So again, I know there's a lot being said and there's a lot of moving pieces, but you choose the base of where you want to start. The biggest thing is being able to establish your business, being able to place your ads to get your crews. Because once you get that base of crews and laborers, those guys are ready to go to work. So there's a timing with that as well. Because trust me, once you post the ad, they will reply. And then it's like clockwork. Once you determine, okay, what skill sets I have, then you got to start making those other calls. So again, it sounds like a lot of work, but you do it at your own pace. I can't say that, you know, if you start this process and then in 30 days you got to have this many members and you got to have this many laborers and you got to have this many projects lined up. I won't dare to say that, because it's at your own pace. So you have to fit it into where it fits in. Because if you're like me, you're a mom, you're a wife, you are working a 40-hour-a-week job, you have other activities in between if you have children, if you have anybody that you're taking care of in any capacity, then you've already got a lot of things lined up. So you can't put your life on hold and your normal day-to-day on hold, but this is your business. So you have to determine where it fits in, how it fits in. But just realize that you do not have to be under anybody else's constraints to do this. So don't be weary. Don't be concerned or at all about whether or not you can make this happen. It can happen. It's just going to take time. So again, I've been going for a few minutes. Any questions at all about anything I've said or anything I haven't said, something that you were expecting to hear that you didn't hear, just jump in at any time. Any questions? Okay. As I previously spoke, again, tonight's call was just going to basically be about going back through a summary of everything that we've done up until this point. What I would like to do is be able to have you all reach back out to me with your emails, your texts, your calls. If you have questions about anything that I've shared tonight, anything that I've shared on a previous call, if there's forms that you want to know how to put together, please reach back out to me and ask that as well. One of the things that I do owe the class, and I will be sending these out either tonight or first thing in the morning, is as we built the initial ad to look for laborers, there were 10 or 12 bullet points that we asked for in that ad. So as they responded with that information and we started building our database of skill sets and laborers that we have, there are also additional questions that you can filter back to these applicants. And the basically the reason for that is if I go out here and apply for a NASCAR job and I've never driven a car, then they want to make sure I'm qualified to do the job. Same thing here. Again, these individuals are looking for work. So not to say that they're going to tell you anything wrong, but you might get somebody who's not really who they say they are. You want to make sure they're qualified, because every person that you bring onto your team to be a laborer, part of your crew, is basically representing your business. These individuals will be subcontractors with you for whatever jobs you do, but they're still representing your business, because the general contractor, the real estate agency, the landlord, the homeowner who hired you, contracted with you for the job, they're contracting with maintenance business. They're not contracting with Jim Smith or Jane Doe who's working for you. So whatever those two do on that job represents your business. So long and short of that is, even though they've applied and they responded to the 10, 12 questions that you initially asked, you still want to make sure that you have a qualified individual in the skill set that they say they are. With that said, there are some additional questions that Mr. Webb has provided, because again, this was his livelihood. This is what he did. So he was able to, you know, rattle these questions off to an individual that applied, and depending on what they answered, he knew if they knew what they were talking about or not. Well, he's been very helpful to put together that list of questions, and also he's put together a list of answers. So what I'm doing, because he provided those to me in two separate responses, so I'm combining those two lists together. For example, if we have a painter, he answered all the questions that we had on the initial ad, and now I want to just make sure that, you know, he is a true qualified painter. Then there's some additional questions I can ask him about certain things, and as he responds, I can look at the answers and say, okay, yeah, he knows what he's talking about. Okay, painter's probably not a really good one that needs to be qualified, because again, and not to take it lightly about painters, but if you can. You can paint. So it's just kind of point blank. But again, there's some skill sets in painting that you got to make sure that, you know, certain things are removed before you start painting, certain things with chalk, you got holes in the wall. So there's certain things you still have to know as a painter. But anyway, we have questions that you can actually qualify these individuals for to make sure that you have a justified person to work this skill set that they're claiming to do. Because as an administrator over your business, you're not going to be on the work sites actually out there painting, unless you choose to. That's your choice. But Terry doesn't choose to. But if you choose to, you can. But however, you want to make sure that you've got a qualified group of individuals going out here on these jobs and actually doing the job. Now, for the jobs that you do contract with, you will go out and you will do a walkthrough to see what needs to be done. For example, if the rent-ready property is a house, 3-bedroom, 2 baths, living room, dining room, and they need to be fixed for the next set of tenants that are coming in. Well, I contract with this company and they're going to give me the job. You as the administrator, need to go with pen and paper, camera, cell phone, taking pictures of a before and after. So as you're going through with a checklist, and there are checklists that I have sample copies of as well that you can actually pull down from the internet or create your own. But you go in and you're actually checking off in each room the things that he said that needs to be done. Okay, there was a hole in bedroom number one. You want to mark that now. You want to take a picture of it. There's a doorknob that needs to be fixed in bedroom number two. You want to mark it down. You want to take a picture of it, because you want a before and after of that property, of what the landlord, the owner stated that needed to be done. And then that's what you're providing to your crew. So again, you don't want to have to go out there and micromanage that crew to make sure they fill that hole in the wall before they paint it, they fix that doorknob before, you know, they finish. You want to make sure that you provide them that work order. They can go out and do the job. So when you come back out, you walk through and you're doing a second checklist to make sure that things that were needed to be done were done. with that said, you will, as you're qualifying your laborers, you're also being able to qualify what we call a point of contact, a POC. That person is the one that's basically going to make sure the job is done. That's going to be, you know, someone who's experienced in his skill set. You know, he's got longevity of years in that skill set. He knows what he's doing. He's ran crews before. He's overseen guys before. So that guy will become your POC. So you know that if I've got, you know, John Smith, my POC, on that job, there's no problem. There's no question about what's going to be done. It's going to be taken care of with no problem. So I don't have to question, because John knows as long as the job is done at 100%, John's going to get paid. And the crew that he has there with him, he's going to make sure that they're doing the job. So again, I don't have to go out and micromanage John and the crew to make sure they're doing it. So those are things that you're looking for when you're qualifying or pre-qualifying your crew, being able to determine, who am I actually going to send out on this job? Oh, I've got John. John's going to go with this crew out here on this job. John will get to the point where he knows that Terry's going to pay him for any job that he takes care of and oversees. You'll be able to put John on three different projects at one time. You got a house over here on Lane. You got a house over here on Carolina. You got a house over here on Park Avenue. You got three houses that are being worked at one time. And John is going to make sure all those houses are being worked by being your point of contact and taking care of those houses. So again, it's all in how you qualify your crew. Because again, the better you qualify your crew, the better you qualify your point of contact, your supervisor, if you want to call it, the less you have to be involved in the actual day-to-day of the maintenance or the building or the everything that's being done. Because you want to be the administrator. Your job is to put your worker and a project together and bridge the two back together. That's your job, being able to manage that and manage the paperwork that goes along with that. And talking about paperwork, there's waiver forms, and we talked about those a couple sessions ago as well, where you want to make sure that your laborers sign off with you, that they don't hold you, your company, liable for anything that may happen on the job. They won't hold the company that's hiring you liable for it. Have them sign off on a form. If you want, you have them sign that form every time they do a project, then you keep it in your file. You keep a file on it. So if anything ever came back later, he goes out there and starts paying and he cuts his finger, then if you're not held liable, the house that you're working on is not liable. So there's a lot of things involved that basically you would be responsible for administratively, so you won't have time to, again, micromanage out there, making sure every nail is hammered and every, you know, door is chalked. You will not be responsible for that. But it all depends on how you qualify your crews and get them set up to do this. So again, your own business at your own pace. It can be done. And Master Builders Logistics is here as a resource, as an assistant, as a listening ear. Even if, again, in the beginning stages of this, if you get to the point where you feel like you're stressed out about it, call me. Let's talk about it. We can talk about, you know, maybe there's something I didn't share with you to make it simple. Because I believe me and my husband, one of our bases of everything that we do, if it's not simple, it's not for us. Because you know, there's no good in confusion, and anything that's not simple, it becomes confusing. And like we stated earlier, if you got all these titles and all these hats you already wearing, you don't need anything that's going to be overwhelming to come in to add to that. So we want to make it simple for you. So again, reach out to me, call me, text me, email me with questions, concerns, or anything that I may have shared or I may not have shared that you have questions about, that you were waiting for me to be able to share that knowledge with you. Because again, it's a partnership. We're all about here to help you get to that next level and help you establish what you need to do for your family business. All right, we've got about 15 minutes left on the call, and I've been talking for a good little while. Just want to stop for a minute to ask again if there's any questions or concerns at all from the callers, anyone that wants to say anything, question, or you have a comment. If you're at that point where, you know, you've stayed on the line, but you're like, well, I really don't think this is for me, or I think this is for me, but I still have some concerns. If you're one who doesn't want to speak on the call, you can feel free to call me after the call is over. Again, that number, 919-213-9123. As soon as this call is over, you can feel free to call me back. I'll be up for a little while because, again, I try to compile the recordings and send it back out before I lay down. That's part of my task, is to make sure that I provide you all what you need to move forward. So at this time, again, any questions, concerns, comments, you can unmute your line and share.
Yes.
Or ask any questions. Yes.
This is Wanda, and my question is about the bidding process. So we are to, you know, I heard you say earlier when we see signs or for rent or something, reach out to the landlords. Is that the only or the main process in garnering bids, or are there other ways to do it, to win contracts or whatever with these companies or landlords? What about for bigger jobs?
That's a good question. The example that I used about you drive by, you see a rent sign, or you see that it's being rented by a real estate company. Those are just, that's an initial phase. That's where your rent readies come in. That's the smaller phases. The larger phases are your builders, where you're seeing houses being built. You see communities being developed. Those are your bigger ones where you you basically reach out to the builder. So if a builder's AMC company is building this house, then you call the builder. When you call the builder, you're actually asking for you want to get information to a general contractor. You want to talk with the general contractor and just basically, you know, you can initiate the question as to whether or not he has his own framing crew, he has his own foundation crew. Nine times out of 10, if you ask that question, they'll say yes. And not necessarily that they have a crew that they use for every house, but they may have a crew that they're using for that particular house. Right. So one of the ways to be able to get into those builders is being able to find those permits. If you can go to your local, your city or your county, permit office where, okay, for example, if you were building a home, or let's say your home you have, if you were going to add on to your home, you have to go and apply for a permit to do that building. It's a building permit to add that on. Mm-hmm. That same place that you would have gone to add a room is the same place that you would go if you were building a brand new house. As a builder, the builders go and they request those permits for that property. So if you go, if you find it locally with your counties, they should have a listing of all the permits that were issued for either additions or for new residential homes. The new residential homes is the one that you want to look at, because if you get a copy of that, then you can actually go to that property. It'll list the owner of the house, it'll list the property address, and it'll list single family home, and you can actually go by that property to see what stage it's in. And once you determine the stage, then that's when you can actually call that builder. And based on this, just like I was saying earlier, if there's nothing started, nothing's been built, and their builder sign is in the yard, then they're at the initial stage of going out to break the ground. Maybe it's to clear out off the grass or tear down some trees. They're at that initial stage. But whatever the stage is, that's when you want to call them. You want to say, hey, I'm calling to I want to know if I can contract with you to do your clearing of the land. Okay, they cleared the land. Now they're getting ready to pour the foundation. Foundation hadn't been poured yet. Oh, I'm calling to see if I can contract with you about bringing my crew in to do your foundation. Again, it's a timing issue. It's a timing thing. So the bigger jobs would be your building, your developments, your houses that are going up, but being able to know what the next stage is, being able to actually bid for that stage. I'm sorry if it took me a while to get you all the way around, but it's the conversation. Being able to have you have business cards, and as you are out and about, and like you said, if you come up on one of those sites, even if they're almost finished working on the house, if the general contractor's on site, you just hand me a business card. Let them know, hey, I got available construction crews. Give me a call. Another thing that Mr. Webb has actually shared with us is as an option is going to your Home Depots, your Lowe's, one Saturday as you're going through there. You see, you know, guys that are look like they're working. They got their pen in hand and they're measuring stuff off. And you hand them a card and say, hey, I have a business and I have, you know, available construction crews. You know, you're marketing yourself. There's many different ways, and there's not just one way, if that makes sense. So to answer your question, I know, like I said, I took a long time to get there. You, basically, anyone that has a home, a house, building, those are going to be the avenues that you're going to reach out to, whether it's at the lower end, which is the renters, or the high end, which is the building of the home and the community development, or apartment complexes. I mean, that's another one. That's a big one, because you're going to need a lot of crew to go in there. But yes, those are the ones that you're actually reaching out and trying to bid for.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome. And I'll give you a personal example of the builder, the higher end. One of the first builders that I spoke with, he was in a position where he had property that he was going to build, and I basically went through the Builders Administration website and just started emailing out to every builder that I saw on that list, just sent a blanket emails, just sent them out. And out of all those emails, I got two responses. One, this guy, he was looking for framing crews, because he was one of those who was in that crunch period where the ground had already been broken, the foundation had already been poured. He needed that next phase to go in, and he was without a crew. So he called because he was like, I'm in dire need of crew, but he was about 3 hours away from me. But again, I, you know, got the information together, sent back, you know, a bid for the phase that he was looking for. Well, long and short, I got outbid it, because I only bid it for the next phase, which is the framing. Again, there's several phases that are going on. The crew the company that outbid me, they actually bid it for the framing and then the next phase that was going in as well. So, and they came in lower because they were actually going to do two things where it was going to cut back on his price. So I learned from that. But again, it's all in the timing. So you may reach out to 100 people. You might get 5 responses. But just do not be discouraged. Just know that it's a timing game. And it's going to take time. We won't, you know, you won't break the bank overnight. I'll just say that. So don't be discouraged. Just take your time. Take your time.
Okay.
All right. Once again, like I said, I really thank you all for tuning in and being patient with me as I go through and sharing and talking, because I can talk a little bit, I guess, when I. So thank you all for that. And please don't hesitate to call me, email me, or text me with additional questions or concerns. And like I stated, I do owe you the additional qualifying questions with the answers, and I will get those back out to you within the next couple of days. Hopefully, by mid-morning, I want to have those out. If not, they will be to you before the end of the week. I will send back out the recording from tonight's call. If there are others who had planned to attend and did not attend, or as you're talking to people and they want to know more information, just send me their email address and I can send them the call recordings and we can go from there. The next couple of weeks, we'll be going through a couple different other segments, but I will email that back out to you all and let you know where we go from here. But it's been fun. I've enjoyed it. It's a learning experience for me as well as sharing experience with you all. So I look forward to hearing from you all with your experiences on this journey and anything that you have to share, anything that you have to tweak from templates that I might have shared with you. So with that said, again, just reach out to those that you know that might be in areas that were impacted by the storm, and just keep them in your prayers. And we just pray that everybody get back to their normalcy within the next, you know, next couple of weeks. Well, that's all I have for tonight. I will say goodnight to you all, and hopefully I'll hear from you before next week. If not, I will talk with you on next Wednesday call. You all have a good night and be well.
Thank you. You too.
Thank you.
Good night.
Good night.
Mm-hmm. Bye-bye.